people who believe in Jesus, who believe in the Word of God. But you need to know there's some good things that are happening as well. How many pray constantly for things that are happening in Washington, D.C.? And sometimes you pray with a little a lot of concern. I want to just remind you one thing. You read the end of the book, Jesus wins, okay? It's all Jesus wins. Turn to each other and say, the Lord wins. But you do need to know there are some precious things that are happening. There's a message that came last week from a bona fide situation. A gal wrote from Washington, D.C. She's one of the sweet people serving in a conservative senator's office in D.C. And she's a dedicated Christian. But she's a godly woman, and she wanted to share some news of what had happened at Capitol Hill a couple of weeks ago. How many know the movie Courageous? The new movie. It is an excellent movie if you get a chance to see it. Made by the people who are from a church back east that makes several movies, and they're wonderful. What are they, guys?
Giant and Fireproof. There's two of them.
Facing the Giant and Fireproof. Yeah, very good. Anyway, so they wanted to show Courageous back east. And it's highly unusual to be granted permission to show a movie when it's currently in theaters. But also, just listen to this real quick. I'll go quickly. To secure a room anywhere on Capitol Hill or on the Capitol complex, as she says, is a royal pain in the neck. A room's got to be approved by the Rules and Ethics Committee. A member of Congress must make the request. Once the room is secure, you have to ask one office to help turn on the lights. You need to call another person to bring a podium. You need to call yet another department to bring a microphone. You need to call still yet another person to bring the cord for the mic to secure it to the podium and plug it in so it will work. And she says, and that, Kevin, is why Ken Esser retired from the government work. No, that wasn't really it. About a year ago, a friend asked her if she was aware of the Congressional Prayer Caucus. And the Congressional Prayer Caucus is a group of about 100 members of Congress who meet in a room just off the House floor to pray once a week for upcoming votes. She had never heard of it. When she saw Jordan yesterday, she learned that not only is her dad a U.S. congressman from Virginia, but he chairs the Congressional Prayer Caucus. So they sponsored the screening of the movie Courageous, and it was paid for out of the personal funds of 10 members of Congress. No taxpayer money was involved. She says, my cynical self was anticipating a handful of folks showing up for a screening, at least one group of protesters. And I was literally stunned, she says, when she arrived at the Jefferson Auditorium in the Library of Congress to see the place absolutely packed. Must have been 300 to 350 people there. Capitol Hill Police Chief was present. She spotted one officer who brought his wife and all 10 of his children. That's a big family nowadays, 10 of his children, who were more well-behaved than a lot of adults I know, and more well-behaved than a lot of debaters we know. Anyway, from her spot, she counted about 35 to 40 members of Congress, including one senator. As they watched the film, she says, I was more shocked to hear the gospel clearly proclaimed. No one made any apologies. The member sitting in front of me cried through the entire movie. As soon as it was over, there was an immediate standing ovation from the audience. No protesting. Then, to my delight, she says, the writer of Courageous and the lead actor in the movie were introduced. They were in the audience the entire time. Another standing ovation for them. She says, I can't believe it. We had three separate standing ovations. I leaned over to my friend Hannah and I said, I'm sorry, am I in the U.S. Capitol or have I gone to church? The chief of staff for Congressman Forbes, Jordan's dad, told her that she wouldn't believe literally the hours that were soaked in prayer into this event. By the time they'd reserved the room, opened up the funnels, paid the Capitol Police overtime, it cost about $5,000, and again, 10 members of Congress shared that out-of-pocket expense. There was no doubt God was in that room, and the message in the movie Courageous resonated with many people. Eternal things took place. And she says this, I know all of you care and are praying for our country. Know that your prayers are being heard and being answered. God is not finished with us yet. He's still here, and his remnant remains in the halls of our government. Now, isn't that good news? There's a praise report. So, if you'll just do these one at a time, I want to give you top 10 predictions for 2012. Top 10 predictions for 2012. The Bible, number one, will still have how many?
All
the answers. Number two, prayer will still be the most powerful thing on earth. Number three, the Holy Spirit will still move. Number four, God will still honor the praises of His people. Number five, there will still be God-anointed preaching. Number six, there will still be singing of praise to God. Number seven, God will still pour out blessings upon His people. Number eight, there will still be room at the cross. Number nine, Jesus will still love you. And number ten, Jesus will still save the lost when they come to Him. Isn't it great to remember who is really in control and that the word of the Lord endures forever? How many can say amen? Thought you would like to have a little good news. We're going to go this morning. If you'll turn your Bibles, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to do part 5 of what I've called Living on Display. And this is the second part of Daniel living with the lions. Daniel living with the lions. We got through the first half of Daniel chapter 6 last week. We'll begin this morning with verse 13. Daniel chapter 6. We've been walking on a journey as God dealt with Judah in the Old Testament and dealt with their sins. He allowed them to be taken into captivity into where? How many remember? Into Babylon. And Pat, you have a map there of the Babylonian Empire. It was astronomical in those days. Nebuchadnezzar was the king's name. And the Babylonian Empire is this parted orange up on the top that spills all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea. He had an enormous body of people and land under his control. And God deals with Judah and he takes, among other captivities, four Hebrew children into captivity. Their names are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, isn't it interesting? We hold on to Daniel's Hebrew name, but the other three, those were the names given to them by the Babylonians. And one of the things, one of the practices they did when they would take over a captive people is they would change the names so they wouldn't have Yahweh, Jehovah, or God in their name, but they would be identified with the God of the land. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was the issue with their name. Daniel was given a Babylonian name as well, but we remember Daniel. He'd been through terrible circumstances. These kids were about 12 to 16 years of age. Probably about 14, 15. And they probably looked like Sam. Stand up for us, Sam. Stand up for us. Yay, Sam. May have even looked like Marianne. Stand up, Marianne. So, yeah, all right. Very good. Very good. We got you on about six messages now, buddy. All right. So, but the reality is, that's what they looked like. That was their age. And these kids were taken 500 to 1,000 miles away into another land and required to live godly lives for the Lord. How many of you know reality is we're living in a post-Christian America where they want us to serve other gods, but we are committed to live for Him. Amen. Someone say amen. Amen. Turn to each other and say, let's live for Jesus. They went through terrible circumstances. We go through terrible circumstances. They found themselves in frustration, times of questioning. We have those same times in our lives where we feel a rejection. Maybe there's untrue, unfair accusations that are made. Surely there were against the Hebrew children in captivity. And we can respond by questioning, getting angry at God, hardening our heart, or we can respond as they did with trust for Jesus. These guys probably never returned home. They were teenagers. They probably never went home. They probably never knew what happened to their families. They never married, most likely. They were hated by their captors. They lived their entire lives facing jealousy, competition, and prejudice from other leaders because these guys, the Lord kept raising them up to the top to be some of the premier leaders in the land. And they kept loving and walking with God. Three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow down to worship a golden statue. And they got where? Tossed into the fire they went. But one, a fourth, like the Son of God, showed up in the fire. Remember? Burned off all the bondages, burned off all the ropes. They came out of the fire. The king's amazed, calls them out of the fire. And he says, there's one in there like the sons of the gods. And what's the deal? And they gave testimony to God being with them in the midst of the trouble. So, then we go on to Daniel. And we see it, Daniel 2, 3, 4, and now 5 and chapter 6. Daniel interprets a dream in chapter 2, and Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And it basically is all about the world rulers that would come through the ages. And it was a tall statue, and the head of gold represented Babylon. And then the next kingdom that would come would be Media, the Medes and the Persians. And remember, that's exactly what happened in Daniel chapter 5 and 6. And then the thighs of brass is representing the Greek empire, and then legs of iron representing Rome, and then the jars of or the feet of clay and iron. Thank you. My eyes didn't see that so well. Anyway, their feet were made out of clay and iron, and they didn't stick together very well. And many are saying the revived Roman Empire or the 10 European nations are representing that kind of rulership, and they are not hanging together well. It's an interesting picture of history. Well, Daniel gives him that dream and the interpretation of that dream because the king couldn't remember it. And so the king makes him second in command. Then we go down through the ages where we get to this story, Daniel in the lion's den. And what happened was, back up 6 weeks before the lion's den, about 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. And you have Daniel going in to Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, who is not respecting the God of Israel, calls out the golden vessels that they use to worship Jehovah with in Israel, and they drink and do their lecherous party with the instruments holding their wines. And a hand shows up and starts writing on the wall. There's where that phrase comes from. Remember? Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. And basically, the message, nobody can interpret it, they can't read it, they're just scared to death. And the grandmother comes in and says, there's a man named Daniel who served in your grandfather's court, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him, and he can help. And Daniel comes in. He's probably 80 years old now. Now, anybody? Carol says, please, don't make us stand up if we're close to 80. Dwell with your congregation according to knowledge. I won't make anybody stand up. Okay. But he's probably 80 years old, and he walks in and he says, you don't remember what God did to your grandfather. Basically, bottom line, he confronts his sin. You're full of pride, and you need to repent. Basically, the message is, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. God is going to take your kingdom of Babylon from you, and it will be given to the Medes and the Persians. That very night, that king, who then raised Daniel back up into position because he interpreted what was going on, that king is killed, and Darius and the Medes and the Persians take over the throne. Fulfillment completely of this, fulfillment completely of the prophecy. And I told you already what was happening outside. This king was so proud, he didn't have any guards at the doors. They had huge walls. He had water going through the city. He had 20 years' inventory of food laid up in store in Babylon. How many know that except the Lord keep the city, they labor in vain, the Bible says. So anyway, what they did, what the Persians and the Medes did, is they rerouted the river. The water goes down. Thousands of soldiers go in under the gates. This is true in history. And the city is taken without a fight. And so let's walk humbly with our God. Amen? Doesn't matter how many nukes you've got. Doesn't matter how many military people you've got. We thank God for our military people, our first responders. But our trust must be in the Lord. Therefore, America, repent. And be in right relationship with God. All right? So we have the Medes and the Persians now are in charge. And then Darius, who makes Daniel one of his main leaders because he knows he's been clean, he's been pure, he's been good. They like to leave some people in charge. Within about 6 weeks, there's 123 satraps or leaders. Daniel is one of them. And 122 are against him. And 122 go to the king and say, hey, we got an idea. Let's make a new law. Appeals to his pride. Let's make a new law. Nobody, but nobody can pray to a God for 30 days except you. He goes, that sounds all right. Sounds pretty good. So he signs it into practice. Daniel hears about it. He goes home. What does he do? How many remember? What does he do? Was he terrified? Was he in fear? Well, now that we could see, never let him see a sweat. He goes home, he throws open his shutters, kneels down, and he prays as his custom was to do. He didn't bow the knee to the opposition. He just believed God, and he prayed. And they take him, and they haul him in before Darius, and Darius is so impressed with Daniel. He labors long and hard. He works hard to keep him alive. Remember, that's what the Bible says. And you can just see the king going, "Oh, don't be me. I can't believe I did this." Anybody ever make a mistake? Okay. Can you imagine what the king was going through? And he labored to keep Daniel alive. And he can't do it. And they say, "Listen, this is a law that can't be changed." And that's the way it was with the laws of the Medes and the Persians. So now, you got to throw Daniel into the lion's den. And they did. So they threw Daniel into the lion's den, and he couldn't resist it anymore. Now I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes before we get there about some present application. Now you know that I love people. And so what I want to talk about here for a moment are, what are we to be as Christians, as believers, those who hold to the Word of God? As a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, you believe this. Amen? Someone say amen or oh no. The Bible is the manual for life and truth, right? As best as we can understand it and interpret it. So we get as close to Him, Pastor Sherry's favorite verse. If there's an error in interpretation, the best way to make an error is to get as close to Him as I possibly can. Turn to each other and say, "Let's get as close to Jesus as we can." How many understand that we, therefore, bow to truth? Truth does not bend its knee to us. We don't create God in our image. We are created in His image. Someone say amen. Amen. We don't have to be horrible to others. We speak the truth in love. By the way, take a look around. In advertising, they call it positioning. And right now, there is a laborious, astronomical effort to position every Bible-believing Christian as a right-wing fundamentalist, bigot, and hater of people. We don't hate people. We love God. But the truth is the truth, and the truth doesn't bow to me. And God created me in His image. I don't create Him in mine. Amen. Fewer of you said amen that time. I'm going to say some truth, and I'm going to say it because it needs to be said from the pulpit as we think about what's happening in our day. I love, and God loves people, and God hates sin. He hates it in me. He hates it in anybody. But if we don't take a stand, you don't stand for truth because you're perfect. You stand for truth because it's right. Our governor is supposedly a dedicated Catholic. I had a very long conversation about this the other day, by the way, with a former Catholic priest who was absolutely devastated by this. And she's proclaimed that now is the time in our country for homosexual marriage. But her Catholic Church is against it. Is she really a devoted, dedicated Catholic then? Clearly, you love everybody. Listen, I know some homosexuals who are a lot nicer than some Christians I know. Okay? When we began this ministry, I got a letter from a cross-dressing transvestite, very radical person, who said, "Can me and my friends come to your service?" Boy, I can tell you, I was on my knees about how to answer that one, and I answered her, "Of course you can come to our service. We love Jesus, and we love people. Now, if you're going to come to our service to try to upend it and to shove a perspective down our throat, that will never fly here. But yes, you are welcome." Now, as to the question you're asking, but without asking, what do I believe? I believe that what you are doing is sin. And I say that to you. I wrote this right in the letter. I say that to you in love. It's what the Bible teaches that's important. But we love you. And you are welcome. You know what she did? She wrote me back and she said, "I have to tell you, Kevin, I will never come to your service because I don't believe that what I'm doing is sin." And That's her perspective. But here's what she said. That was the most loving response from any Christian I have ever talked to, and I thank you for that. Church, I believe we're called to be like the Lord. You know, there's no degree to sin. Somebody's adultery is every bit as bad as somebody else's homosexuality. Somebody being a thief and a drunkard is every bit as bad as somebody taking drugs and doing all of this. But sin is sin. And the Bible tells us, as a pastor, I'm responsible to say, here's what the Bible says. You can hate me all day long, but I gotta say, here's what the Bible says. In the book of Genesis, it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. You go to the book of Romans, and it talks about when it comes to the last days, and you see other places, people give themselves over, and so God gives them over to the lust of the flesh, men burning for men, women burning for women. And the Bible says that is not right, that's sin. Now, so the Bible tells us that marriage is between one man and one woman. It's not a whole host of people having each other. It's one man and one woman. I was married for 24 years. Some of you guys might look at me and go, you don't know how hard it is. Sure, I was married for 24 years. Actually, I do understand how hard it was for her. Church, where do you stop? If once you leave truth and try to bow and bend truth to you, where do you stop on the shifting sands of popularity? Now listen, I'm going to tell you what's true, because the next thing making its way down the pike, I've already been receiving newsletters about it. It's true. The next ones to raise their hand are to say it should be legitimized for pedophilia. It should be legitimized men having their way with little boys, men who love boys. It should be legitimized to have sexual activity with animals. It should be, where does it stop? It stops with the Word of God. And positioning is trying to take a look at that kind of speaking from the Word and say, and I love people, but positioning is trying to say, Kevin, you shouldn't preach the Bible because that's a hate crime. And if they can position that as hate crime, then they can stop us or put us in jail. They can't stop us, but they can put us in jail. Listen, I don't spend my whole time talking about this. This is the first time you've heard this issue in a long time. But church, if we don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Right. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Now, I want to know how many people in this room heard me tell you to go out and hate every homosexual. Let's see the show of hands. I'm not saying that at all. I didn't say that, so no hands were raised. We love God, say it with me, John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's okay if you disagree with me. It's basically, I'm just trying to say, the Word of God, we try to love people, and we'll keep trying to love people. But if we can be silenced, they tried to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just bow down to the statue. That's all you have to do. You never have to do it again. We're in a big gathering. Just do it so you don't rock the boat. Come on, Christians, don't rock the boat. Come on, Daniel, it's only 30 days. Keep the shutters closed. You don't have to do this in front of everybody. And Daniel had to walk with God and keep walking with God. There's a quote I want you to see. Edmund Burke. How could it happen? By the way, I'll go back to that. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. An illustration of acquiescence. I want to just talk about it for a minute. We acquiesce. How do we get there? How do we get in these positions? We acquiesce. And we stop saying, you know, that's not what the Bible says. I love you, but that's not what the Scripture says. All right? And so we're doing our best to walk according to the Scripture. Am I perfect? Are you perfect? No. But we still stand for truth. In Germany, a man named Hitler was a despicable man who took over. And you stop and you go, how could the Christians in all of these churches have allowed it to happen? One acquiescent step at a time. So church, we have a responsibility. There's present application. Let's go on to Daniel living with lions. Daniel 6, verses 16 and 17. Daniel 6, 16 and 17. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. So Daniel could not escape from the lion's den. I know some of you, we've been telling these stories since we were kids, but let's take a look at it. He couldn't escape. A stone is rolled across the face of the den. There was probably a top opening in the cave and possibly a side opening in the cave. There was a seal from the signet ring put in there, and it was an impression made in the clay by an image on a ring. And that would inform others that stone was not to be tampered with in an effort to free Daniel. Now, how many like lions? Yeah, they're pretty cool. Pretty cool creatures. Let's just talk about them for a minute. If you look at lions, only four cats can roar. Only four. Remember what they are? The lion, the tiger, the leopard, and the jaguar. Yeah, they all make pretty good car names, too. Anyway, lion, tiger, leopard, and jaguar. Of these cats, the lion roars the most. When you have them together, it's called a pride of lions. It's believed that lions roar, and that roar serves to let the other lions know of an individual lion's presence. Or they can begin roaring in a whole chorus of several lions. A whole pride can begin to roar. And that takes place. Do you know, I was reading about, this is fun, reading about a lion, when a lion starts to really let her rip, he can roar with enough force to scatter a whole dust cloud all around him, just from the sound of his roar. It's said that a lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. Now watch. Ferocious. Creates incredible fear. These beasts will reduce you to toothpicks on the way into the pit. Who else is as a roaring lion? 1 Peter 5, verse 8 of the New Testament tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." King James, "as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Watch it out of the New Living. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. It doesn't say he is a roaring lion, but like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour out of the message. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. The scripture tells us that as Christians, we need to stay constantly alert because the enemy, the Greek word is antidokos. Say it with me, please. Antidokos means adversary. The devil, and that Greek word is diabolos. You can say that with me. Diabolos. That means slanderer. Our adversary and slanderer is always looking for an opportunity to maul and devour Christians. Now, this is probably a nod to what was happening in that day with Nero, throwing Christians to the lions in the Roman Colosseum. In the Old Testament, Satan, and that was a title given for the Satan often, was the accuser. And the scripture tells us, even in the book of Revelation, he accuses the brethren night and day. He never lets up. Church, that's why we need to get along with each other and never be an accuser, right? You don't want to play into the devil's hand. You don't want to accuse, backbite, and slander, and gossip. So the Bible says, if you got a problem, which we do sometimes, you take care of it together. Okay, we walk it through together. Anyway, lions were viewed as the most ferocious beasts of all, and they even came to be used for figures of enemies to God's people. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. You read it, and it talks about, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" A psalm for Jesus. And it says that the bulls of Bashan and lions surrounded him, gaping at him. The point being, on the cross of Calvary, the demonic herd, demons, were roaring at Jesus and jeering, thinking they had the triumph. Thank God they lost out, right? Yeah. Read the end of the book, and we... Amen. Lions attack sick, young, strangling animals. They choose victims who are alone or who are not alert. They prowl quietly, they watch, they wait, and they suddenly pounce when their victims are least suspecting it. Church, that's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, don't deny the gathering together of the saints, but so much the more gather together as you see the last days approaching. How many know you sometimes, I sometimes need strength from the Lord? And we get that strength from each other. So we walk together. The enemy devours those who are off on their own with a down, discouraged spirit. So Peter warns us, be alert. All right. James 4, verse 7. Submit to God. Say it with me, please. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right. God keeps kings awake. God keeps kings awake. Look at verses 18 through 20. Now the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. His sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went to in haste to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Sounds like Esther, remember? The king was kept awake. Ever had a time, church, where you can't sleep at night? Again, I won't have anybody stand up. How many know sometimes that happens as we get older? We just don't sleep as well. But the Bible says the Lord gives his beloved sleep, and sometimes the Lord wakes you up. Stirs you up, won't allow you to rest. What should you do? Pray. It's the best thing to do is stop and say, Lord, why am I awake? Maybe it was the huge bowl of ice cream I ate before I went to bed. But maybe the Lord woke me up because there's something he wants to say, or something he wants you to pray for, or someone he wants you to pray for. And if you don't know, the Bible talks about clearly speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance, and the Holy Spirit will pray through you. So lift one another up and pray for each other and listen to the Lord. But watch what happens. Watch what happens. King arose again very early the next morning, went in haste to the den of lions, came to the den, cried out with what kind of a voice? A lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? He made an outcry. Literally, the Hebrew means, he made an outcry with a deep affliction. A lamenting voice, Daniel, has God been able to keep you safe? Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah? You know, we're men and women of faith. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Yeah, come on. Anybody besides me ever think that? Yeah, I know. Some of you look at me like, we've wondered that about you too. Now, sometimes it gets like that, doesn't it? You sit there and go, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm a real man of faith right now. God, I know you're there. But where? It would sure be nice if I could see a God with skin on. And you read in here, interestingly, that the king was more agitated than Daniel was. Wow. A lamenting voice. Daniel, has your God kept you safe? Now, church, I want you to realize, Daniel made such an impact on Darius's life. He only knew him at this time, probably for maybe 6 to 8 weeks, from the best commentaries I could read to glean from this. He made a quick impact on this guy, desperately wanted to keep him alive. Watch the hero's honor. Interestingly, in prophecies this morning, total confirmation. The hero's honor, verses 21 through 23. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God, please read it with me. Sent his angel. Now, who showed up in the fiery furnace? We believe it was Jesus, a pre-incarnation appearance of Jesus. Look what God does again. His kids get in trouble, not for doing anything wrong. They throw you into the fire, and it sometimes feels like that. They throw you into the pit of lions, and it sometimes feels like that. But God says, I will be with you. God sent his angel, and he shut the lion's mouth. So they have not hurt me. Watch. Because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him. No smoke, even smell of smoke was on the guys in the fiery furnace. No injury found on Daniel. Why? Say it with me, please. Because he believed in his God. God sent his angel, the Son of God, to be with Daniel. When God is there, even the suffering place can be a palace. I've never seen that more in anyone's life than I saw it in my wife. With little complaint, she went through 6.5 years of suffering. And some have gone through more. But I never saw her complain. I get a paper cut. Ow, 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 ow! I think the Lord took Gail and said, Kev, you've got to stay behind and work it out a little, pal. Listen, even in false accusation, it is frustrating. Have you ever been accused falsely by somebody? It hurts. But you stand in God. And you don't bow to the world, you bow to Him. And Daniel reminds him, I'm innocent. Literally, in the Hebrew, I've done no harm. I've done no crime. No crime against you. I've done nothing to overthrow you, is literally what these words mean. And the king just rejoices. They bring Daniel up out of the den, and God's kept him alive. Now watch the deceiver's doom. Verse 24. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. In my reading about lions, they have these protracted claws that are immensely sharp, and one of the ways it keeps sharp is because they protract and they kind of walk on the equivalent to this part of your hand, and the one index protrudes, and they kind of use it like a toothpick. I'm watching this story unfold, and I'm going, you can just see the other lion sit back going, so there. You know, those 122 satraps and their kids tasted pretty good. God sent his angel, and their mouth was shut against Daniel. Darius had had it. He worked all day to keep Daniel alive. And these people who were false accusers, he threw into the lion's den. God knows how to still the voice of the devil. God knows how to let truth prevail. God knows how to protect you and me in the midst of our storm. And he's the one who, Jesus is the guy in the boat who stood up and said, peace, be still to the storm on the sea. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, the accuser of the brethren will be what? Cast down. The enemy is defeated. So when you're in the lion's den, keep praying, keep trusting, keep singing, keep worshiping, keep believing. When you're there, Jesus is with you. Say amen. Yes. Turn to each other and say, remember, Jesus is with you. Let's see how the story ends. Let's get the rest of the story. God gets the glory, verses 25 through 28. King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So, this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Men and women, the Bible says here what it means, must be afraid before this formidable God. Now, God is a God of love, no question. But there's an awesome power. You don't want to mess with God. You know, it used to be that old, you don't mess around with Jim. Well, this, you don't mess around with God. That was a 60s song. Danny, remember the one I'm talking about, right? Yeah, okay, Ken, all right, great. He lives. He's steadfast, which means He's permanent. He endures and He delivers. And the word delivers means He sets free. He rescues. And that word literally means He extricates. Just like first responders bring the jaws of life to extricate someone from a car crash, Jesus opens doors that men have sealed shut. In your quiet moments in the middle of the night when you think, I don't know I'm going to make it through this. I don't know how we're going to get through, whether it's a physical affliction, a financial issue, a social problem, a relational difficulty. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And God says, hold on, I am with you. And the Bible says He does signs and wonders, which means miracles. His kingdom will never be destroyed or ruined. His dominion is forever. Amen. The Bible says, unsaved eyes open when they see a God like this. We're going to love everybody, stand for truth, and keep walking with Jesus. And do our best to show them a God who never fails. Maybe my circumstance won't change, but God will hold me in the midst of my circumstance. Can you, church, live with lions? With Jesus, the answer is yes. Let's stand. Would you come? Possibly today, as you're here, there's a fearful circumstance in your life, or you feel like you're in a pit of discouragement or rejection, like Joseph or like Daniel or the three in the fiery furnace. Maybe you hear the enemy roaring at you, but Jesus is your deliverer. Be my own, He says in the song we sang. My very own, I'll give you all the riches of my glory. Jesus knows how to help you and me in the midst of our situation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for being so good, for being God. Even when we're the most afraid, we know that You are in charge. Now we pray, Lord, You'd move upon Your people and Jesus, You'd strengthen them as they go out this day to remember that You're the same God who helped Daniel in the lion's den. We thank You, Lord. It's not just children who can rejoice with the story. We look at the Bible and we're encouraged. Now bless each one as they go from this place, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you, come forward and let us have the honor of praying with you. If you need physical healing in your body, we urge you to come forward to receive prayer.